Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. And I'm back with Rash after, at least a month, I think, since you were on last time, Rash. I'm not sure the date, but we tried to make it about a month apart so we could have some consistency with some of our guests so that you guys out there could really follow recovery on a not only moment to moment, but week by week, month by month, and see who got to what and what it's really like, not what it's like for the perfect person or what it's like for the worst person, but what recovery looks like for an ongoing person who takes recovery as a way of life, as we and many others have done. Raj, welcome back.
Thank you, Scott. Good morning, everyone.
Yeah, it's great, and I can't help but thinking when I look at Raj, several of us went to celebrate a complete year of sobriety. Now, when I say that, folks, Raj will tell you if he feels like it, what that sobriety is from and so on. But I want you to know that when we speak of sobriety, it can be anything from emotional sobriety to a physical sobriety from a substance abuse. It can be the end of a compulsive behavior, or at least the coping with one. So don't just assume that everybody who comes on here is an addict of some sort, because our program is open to absolutely anyone who feels like maybe life could be somewhat better. Raj, looking at your year in retrospect, just looking back, was it super tough, or was it easier than sometimes? How should I put this? Obviously, it's better in that you were successful with a full year under your belt. However, there are other times, and maybe when, looking back historically, when it didn't work, or when it looked like it was failing, it was probably tougher then. How do you look at that?
Good morning, everyone. And Scott, thanks for having me on this radio show again. Well, looking back at those 365 days, it was tough. Yeah. It was not easy. Because the reason why I say it was not easy is I decided to be very honest with myself, something that I have not done for a very long time. I think I've not been honest with myself right since the day I was born.
It's getting to be a long time.
Yeah, I know. But that's what life is about, right? Yeah. I mean, I created a little world of my own. And due to the circumstances that I had as a child, my childhood days, and then growing up into an adult, and then the marriage, but then it changed so much because I didn't want to change. I wanted to stay in that same little world of mine. And when change came along, I refused to change myself, because I thought that whatever I had done or whatever I was doing was enough. And basically, it was not the ego and the pride. Initially, yes, people talk about ego and pride. It's not that. It's more fear. Fear of walking into the unknown. You don't know what's on the other side, because you're letting go of something that was, part of me for so many years, and I didn't expect what to see on the other side of the fence. So, especially initially in the first couple of months of my 1 year sobriety, I had a problem with the first step, letting go and acceptance. Accepting the fact that I was an alcoholic, which was okay, I didn't have a problem with that. But what made me an alcoholic was the biggest problem. Accepting that the problem was actually not everyone else. It's not people, places, and things. It is me and Raj. That was the biggest hurdle that I faced in that first step. And the more important was the spiritual aspect of it, letting go and letting God take over. It's the same thing. I just didn't trust him. There's always this barter system, like, okay, I give you something, you give me something back in return. But that is the whole thing about the 12 steps, is you got to let go right from step one. That mm-hmm. is the main foundation of somebody's recovery. It's the main fulcrum of where somebody steps onto, right, yeah. life. Because if you can't cross that first hurdle, then you keep going back to that first step.
Yeah.
You might cross the fourth step, fifth step, and then again go back to the first step. And that's initially what happened. I would go to the third step and go back again to the first step. Only once when I was able to let go, it's the slogan, right? Let go and let God.
Yeah.
Was I able to make amends, I mean, start moving on with my recovery.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it's interesting, you mentioned trust. Trust is huge, you know, and I think it always starts with what you just said, trust in a higher power, you know, in God for us who are of the Christian world. What do you think caused that to all of a sudden, you know, be real enough to, you know, to be able, like you say, what gave you the ability to trust in something, you know, beyond yourself? Like all of a sudden, I mean, you were brought up, you know, around godly ways and church and so on, and yet it makes you wonder. It makes me wonder when I'm listening to you and I'm thinking out loud, but you know. What is it that all of a sudden clicks or something at some point in a life and that trust in something greater than ourselves becomes real? You know, how does that happen? I mean, I've been around these steps for a lot of years too, and you know, I know it's happened to me. I know I've been changed and from the inside out, and I've, you know, like many of us have had all kinds of different sorts of experiences that couldn't be anything else, yet still, what makes it click? What do you think, what happened, what was different for you? I mean, you changed, you know, geographically, basically, you were gone from this area up to Barrie, where you live, and I think from what I saw in your meeting there, like, you found, you know, a camaraderie and enough people to identify with so that you had a real, you know, you've got a strong system of backup and support there, and it's really obvious, and that's beautiful, by the way. That's about the best I've ever seen in not a 1 year, but in a gathering, and the people who were, you know, the numbers coming up and for the first time, just getting there, you know, and not having been to meetings and so on before. I thought, wow, this is incredible. You know, I mean, it not only, you know, examined the problem and made it very clear, it showed that you guys were in tight, and that was powerful, you know, and I don't know, has that got anything to do with it? I mean, the geography, the people, the love in the room, and so on. I mean, it's all part and parcel, but it's worked for you, you know, and I love to be able to tell people out there, or you tell them, you know, what changed? What were you able to do? Why could you trust? Do you have any, you know, or are you like me, you just know what happened, you know?
Like you mentioned, yes, I was brought up as a Christian. I had a strong Christian following. I mean, the sense, like, my mom was very faithful. Mm. Even till the day she died, she still trusted in God, even though she died of cancer and she went through all that pain. But I think the big book says that my way didn't work.
Mm.
So I just decided to let it go, give it to God. And it's mm. and so, because I've seen the results in the rooms, people who have been sober 15, yeah. 20 years. Yeah. They say higher power, which is fine, I accept that, but for me, yeah. my higher power is God.
Yeah.
I know He's always been there, and there is a reason why everything fell into place.
Mm-hmm.
Right from 2017 Jan, yeah. with that binge, going into detox, and then Hope Acres, and then meeting my sponsor, and having a relapse, and then starting a new journey.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, my ways didn't work.
Yeah.
I had to give it to God. There are times where I do hold back certain things,
mm-hmm.
but I'm a work in progress. It's not going to happen overnight.
Yeah, yeah.
But at least I know that He's there for me. I mean, what else can I think about? It's worked for so many people. It's worked for you. I've seen people in the rooms that have changed drastically yeah, over yeah. the years, where yeah. they have given themselves into God and their lives have changed. So,
yeah, I think that's probably what you just hit on is probably the biggest thing. You get to where where it's obvious, like there's a whole bunch of people that are doing really well, and I mean you hear a few of their stories and you say, well, you know, he's got that or she's got that, why don't I have that? You know what I mean? What's missing? But you see, you know, it works. You know, we keep saying now, like, I got some numbers here I may share later, but we're talking millions of people on a day, like a lot of millions, somewhere between 5 and 10 million people every day are in 12-step and they're sober. It's 5 to 10 million people. For 5 to 10 million people, there's at least 4 or 5 times that number of people at homes and associated and so on and so forth who are not hurting so much either. So you're talking mega people here, no matter how you look at it. And for those that make it, that are sober, you know, 10 don't, or 9, you know, sort of thing. So of that, you know, you can already, you're getting up around 1 billion sort of thing. Then you take the ones who never go for help. They're probably 10 times the ones who reached out at all. So, I mean, your numbers are astronomical. So it's, you know, to get in a place, and obviously with the numbers, the 5 to 10 million every day in sobriety, there's a lot of people making it, even though there's a lot that don't. So, and you guys are able to gather with guys who are making it. You know, I think that's everything in a sense. You can identify and you can hear in them the reality. They know you. They know what you've lived, and you can tell what they lived. And you said, like, the honesty. I mean, honesty has to be shared and received, too, before you can give it, I think. So, you know, I think I've got to be in a place where, you know, this guy looks, he sounds really real, and you know, everything seems true. I don't have bad vibes. I think maybe I can try that. You know what I mean? Something like that, and somehow it works. But anyway, powerful thoughts and huge numbers, and, you know, we're just a little tiny piece of it. But I honestly think, in looking back over all the years, that, and for whatever reason, we came up with the name Sharing the Burden, but sharing is everything. It's absolutely everything in every aspect of life, everything you do. Sadly for us who are introverted, sharing is that much harder, you know, so it takes that much longer to get us into a place where we can really be transparent and so on. But it's the only thing that works, you know. For, you know, somebody once said, you know, we're as sick as our secrets, and I get that today, you know. And I don't know if you hold any secrets close to your heart, but I don't think there's anything I haven't told somebody by this stage in my life. And if there is, well, I've probably totally forgotten about it. What about you? You
with keep my sponsor, much, you know? I've been in like an open book, because the program talks about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And I think being honest is the key to somebody's recovery, at least to my recovery. The minute that I decided to become open to him, that's where acceptance and letting go and trusting in God comes into play. Because then I got honest with my feelings. I got to understand who I was. Mm-hmm. The problem didn't lie with anybody else, but the problem was with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't consider myself a bad person.
Good.
It was a sickness that brought me down, unfortunately. And if people come to understand that and they don't judge an addict, it'll make my life much better, easier for a lot of addicts in this world, because we are not born bad. It's circumstances and things that make us bad, and we get hooked on to certain stuff. I got hooked on to alcohol, but it was not my choice. It was just a way of escape, and that escape didn't work, but it just gave me that pleasure, or, you know, a way away from the pain and suffering. But it just led me to disaster. It dragged a lot of people down with it.
Yeah.
But being honest is the best thing that I have been. Yeah. I mean, what I have done is in this program.
That's your key. Good. I think with that, Raj, we'll take a quick break, and we'll let our master producer over here, Mr. Jay Rumball, do what he likes to do with the show for a minute or so. And Jay, what are you going to do?
Morning, Scott. Morning, Raj. Great to have you here on the show. And yeah, I think it's time to pay some bills, and we'll be back here on Shedding the Burden on Whistle FM.